Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate.
Good morning, our South Shore friends and neighbors. This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, but you have Cindy Ford today. Sharon is with her family on a well-deserved vacation in Aruba. So Sharon, please have at least one or two or three or four sangrias for me. I would so appreciate that. I know Sharon was looking at her calendar with her girls just getting home this week from school, and they determined that there were only 10 days that all four of them were going to be home together. So they decided to last minute take a family vacation. So well deserved, Sharon. And I am so fortunate today. So I have the infamous Dan Mann from Fairway Mortgage, my friend, oh my gosh, my friend, my buddy, my pal. And I have him all to myself for an entire hour.
Wow.
Welcome, Dan, again. And you're a proud sponsor of the radio show, which we so appreciate. And we love working with you guys.
Same.
You're the best.
It goes both ways right there.
It does. So today, we, I'm going to probably digress right away from the beginning and just say, who doesn't love this sunshine? Seriously, does it make everyone feel better? I know we had a little rain a couple of days, but this sunshine, oh,
just changes your whole attitude.
Doesn't it?
You get up, it's easy to go out and come do things.
I know, I love it. I love it. Well, it makes it a little more difficult to go into the office, I have to say. But I'm out a lot, so that's a good thing. I'm out and about, and it was a nice day. It was a nice week to be out and about with inspections and appraisals and showing properties and not having my umbrella. It was really...
It was getting depressing.
Right.
It was getting depressing.
I think it was not looking too good for me in those 8 days we had of rain. So very happy the sunshine. And also, I just want to give a big shout out to my dad, who is down in Bourne at the cemetery visiting my mom. So love you, Dad. And it's a beautiful day to go down there.
Uh-huh.
He's down at the cemetery saying hi to my mom. We didn't get down there for Mother's Day, so he's down there now.
Gotcha.
And we are going to today, Dan, we're going to talk about the pre-approval process because, you know I refer everyone to you, and I am surprised at the number of phone calls I get and the number of leads I get of people that want to go see a property. And the first thing I ask them, you know, are you working with a real estate agent? The second thing I ask is, are you pre-approved? People don't know. They think that they can go out and they'll just, you know, I'll wait till after, or I don't need to sell my house. I need to find a property first and put an offer in there.
Right.
So you have to explain how it works. But what can we do to help our clients with this process, or talk a little bit about the process, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, to me, obviously, it's the most, not the most important part, but if you, you know, it's better to know how much you can actually go buy so you're not out there looking at properties that you can't actually afford. So, and it's actually a luxury to start getting your pre-approval sooner rather than later. because now if you're, say, you're buying, you know, 6 months to a year out, now we can pull credit and make sure everything's good on there, because a lot of credit reports do have fraud on them. So getting rid of that, you know, really helps. Or there's little tricks that we can help you with your credit score. So you want to get, which affects your rate, all that good stuff. You can, you know, for instance, if you have a high balance on a credit card, paying that down to, you know, we have credit experts come in to talk to us every once in a while. And they tell us, you know, the number is whatever your high limit is, you want to keep your credit card balance below 30% of that. So easy math, if you have a $1,000 high limit on a card, you want to keep your balance below 300. So now that every credit card's report once a month to the credit bureaus, when they report, your score shoots up.
You know, and I could be wrong on this because I usually am wrong on everything. But you were helping a client of mine recently, and I, you know, I love talking to you because I learned so much. But we were talking about the credit card balances and student loans that people might have and all these other things. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the things you said was open-ended credit cards where you have, you know, a credit that you can use of $30,000 and you don't have anything on the credit card, but it looks like you could put that amount. So that could, you want to close that if you're not using it or is...
No. A credit card, you always want to get, you actually, from time to time, call your credit card company and actually try and up your high limits because that shows you have more available credit. And that also helps your ratios if you were kind of carrying a balance. So say you did, instead of paying it down, this is another, you know, kind of a little trick. If they'll up your high limit, now your ratio, you know, that 30% is actually a higher number. So without actually paying off your credit card, just by having them raise your limit, your score will go up.
See, you're so wicked smart. I knew I was wrong because, I don't know, I can't retain anything these days. But
another thing you had mentioned, though, student loans.
Yes.
So student loans, now a lot of those people will say, oh, those are in deferment. Those shouldn't count against my debt ratio. Well, as far as you're doing a loan, most loans are 30-year fixed. So banks, what they do is they have to get what the deferred payment is going to be, and we add it into your debt ratio, even though you're not currently paying it.
Oh.
So, yeah, and student loans is one of the bigger, you know, issues with people today trying to buy a house because just it's so expensive. But moving on, you know, as far as the pre-approval process, if you can get, the earlier you get going, the better, because now you can just correct all these credit score issues, save money in your bank, you know, get, maybe if you had to get a gift, you can get it put in there now instead of sooner rather than later. Actually helps.
Let's talk about gifts for a second. Okay. But just to let all of our listeners know, if you have any questions for Dan Mann of Fairway Mortgage, please give us a call at 781-837-4900. We would, or any questions for me, good luck with that. And hopefully they're all for Dan. Please give us a call. We would love to talk with you. And if you don't want to, you can text me at 781-367-4419. And I have my phone here and I can ask Dan the question, maybe multitask. But let's talk about the gifting, because that's I'm running into a lot of that lately. And again, people don't know. They just think, oh, mom and dad can give me X amount of dollars, which they can. But how does that process work?
Well, the best way I always tell people to, A, first do a gift is to do it with a personal check, because then it's easily traceable, because we have to document those funds. You see a large deposit coming into a bank account for a buyer, we have to say, okay, where did this come from? Okay, it was a gift from my mom and dad. Okay, now instead of having to get 2 months' worth of bank statements showing that money coming out of a mom and dad's account, you just get that canceled check, get the copy of the front and back from the parents, and then we just have a, what's called a gift letter. And now that's all documented up, and we save them from gathering up 2 months worth of bank statements, all that, because that's the proof that they had the funds to give to their son or
so daughter. Important that they give you, disclose everything, and you know where they're getting their down payment if they don't possibly have it. Now I'm going to digress and go back to this the whole credit thing, because we were also talking last week, and again, I could have dreamt this, but about, you know, the little things that can raise your credit score just that much that can affect your, what, interest rate?
Yep,
you can get,
oh, interest rate, yep. And
I'm
programs,
so
you, different programs you qualify for. So for instance, with a mass housing, on if you have a 660, you can do a mass housing loan, but you're not going to be able to do one with just the 3% down. You would have to do the 5%. So if you have above a 680, which, you know, you can do the 3% down as long, you know, there is a, you have debt ratio just has to be below 41, but now you're going with 3% down just by adding that, you know, you could have had a 679 for your score. One more point gets you to be able to go with a 3% down program.
See, that's huge. And so say, for instance, let's just, you know, worst case scenario that I can't get my credit card limit raised. I can't do it.
Yep.
The credit card company just won't allow it for whatever reason.
Yep.
So what are some of the normal things or some of the common things that happen that you can tell someone this, if you do this, this, and this based on some of this debt that you have, then potentially, you know, your credit card, your credit score can go up.
Yep, that's you can't always get them to raise your,
right.
You know, because maybe they think, you know, they evaluate kind of the same.
Yeah.
Way we do. So what you're going to have to do there is probably pay down, right? So now this is one of part of the luxury. I'm saying call me sooner rather than later so we can start working on this, because once you pay that down, it takes credit card only, you know, people think they pay their, you know, credit card statement and that shows up the next day on the credit report. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Credit card companies only report once a month to the credit bureaus. So say that date is just for a random day, the 25th of the month, and you pay your bill on the 26th. Well, you have to wait, you know, a whole till the 25th of the next month for that to show up. So what you have to do is kind of pay things as soon as possible, pay it down to that 30% or, you know, or off ideally, but if you pay it down to that 30%, call your credit card company and then you would say, what's your reporting date to the credit bureaus? And now you know it, so now you know right after that date, we can repull credit and your score will be, it'll be reflected in your score.
So all these credit card companies and things, they could all have different dates that
they
report?
They all do. So that's the tricky part, because I've had people, you know, the multiple credit cards, you know, 5-6 credit cards, and they all needed some work on all of them, right? And we have to have them call, and it's a lot of work because, to be honest, a lot of times you're talking to a customer service person that doesn't even know the date, and then you'll ask for the manager, and they won't know the date. So they're like, it's once every 30 days, and we say, we understand that. What is that once?
Day?
Yeah, what is
that
one day, please? So I tell people, then you just hang up and call back and get a different call center, to be honest with you, because it's just, it is a little bit of banging your head against the wall. But then you get those 5 credit card dates, and you make sure you're paid before that, and then we just sit and wait till the last one will report. And then we just, you know, we can repull credit and get your score up. And what that's going to do, it's going to save you thousands of dollars over the lifetime of a loan, because if your interest rate gets even better by an eighth because of that credit score, you're in there for 30 years. That's a lot of savings.
I'll take an eighth.
Mm-hmm. Every time. It always makes sense. At some point in the loan, it makes sense if you even just get an eighth, if you're in there long enough.
This is all great information that people don't know. I think people just don't know. That's why I send them to you.
Another thing people get stressed about, if you kind of get your pre-approval done early, the documents we need to do the pre-approval, you know, tax returns, W-2s, pay stubs, you're not in a race to do it. It doesn't feel like a stressful process, because if you just wait, you know, I find people, if they're not rushed, the transaction's much nicer for them. It's more relaxing. Now you're just out looking at a house because you know you're good to go. So if you have people, like you had said, they'll say, hey, can we go look at a house today? Oh, do you have your pre-approval? No. So now, okay, well, call Dan, and now it's Saturday, and they want a pre-approval, so we have to take a whole application, try and get their docs in to review it to make sure they're actually, you know, good to go. So now you're rushed. It's not that, you know what I mean? It's not fun. So if you do this all ahead of time, it's such a more relaxing, you know, situation for you.
Yeah, we have to be prepared because, one, you know, this market is a little bit crazy right now, and the houses that are, you know, in demand, well, all houses are in demand, but they are going like
multiple
instantly
offers.
One day and multiple offers.
Like
it's crazy. So
like
we are trying to be I'm trying to be as prepared as I possibly can with my clients. And so I do try to educate them and say, you know, if you find a property that you really like, we have to act on it because other people will be acting on it as well. So, and I need to submit that pre-approval with the offer. People don't know that either because maybe they've lived in their house 25, 30 years. You don't remember. You just don't remember.
Yep.
Or they're first-time home buyers and they just don't even know the process. So it is an education process, and that's why I send them to you, because I know that they are in the most competent hands and that you will walk them through everything just as I do, because it's a lot of information.
You know, if that is, that's why I like to have multiple conversations with people, because, you know, the stuff we're talking about right now, that's information overload.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you can only absorb so much in one conversation. So I encourage questions, because I've always found when people are, you know, kind of know what's going on, whether they're getting good news, bad news, or indifferent, they're fine with it because they know the reasoning behind it. But if you just, you know, kind of tell someone something, you know, halfway through a process and they, you know, it's the first they're hearing of it. Whoa, what is this? They, you know, they think something's going wrong, or, you know, it's a bigger deal than it is. That's why I always encourage so many questions, and people, you know, usually are much happier with that because they feel good about what's going on.
Absolutely. I 100% guarantee, you know, everyone loves working with you. So let me ask you another question. Does every single lender do what you do, I'm sure they do, to get a pre-approved, to have a client pre-approved, you know, you ask for a lot of information. And what makes me feel great about that is when I go out with a client, I'm not showing them something that they maybe can't afford, that maybe right. another lender told them that they could afford higher, but mm-hmm. really come to find out when you get down to the nitty gritty mm-hmm. and you're that we're, you know, getting ready for the commitment mm-hmm. and they're
the
not qualified for that, but they've fallen in love with this house. So I know mm-hmm. that when you pre-approve someone, mm-hmm. I'm not going a penny over right. what you said.
Right.
Because I know.
Well, the you're 100% right. There's, I'm not going to mention, you know, lenders by name.
But some of the bigger places,
no, it's supposed to be. By the book, you're supposed to review all these docs before you're actually giving out, you know, a pre-qualification letter to tell someone, hey, yeah, this is what you should be doing. Well, a lot of the places, you know, the bigger places that, you know, the online places, I'm sure everyone's seen ads on television and, you know, the bigger banks around here, they don't do anything. They'll just take an online app and you actually don't talk to people half the time. Or if you do, they don't request these docs until you've actually found a place. And now you get your tax returns in, and maybe your accountant has take unreimbursed business expense for you, and you didn't know. You know, some people don't know what their account, they should know, but maybe they don't. And now that cuts into your qualified income, you know, significantly. And now you're not approved for what they had told you you were approved for.
You know, that leads me to another question. We're going to take a break in just a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk about, and see, it went right out of my head already. I want to talk about people changing jobs or potentially becoming contracted labor. That's a big one, because mm-hmm. these things have happened to clients of mine. Yep. So I want to talk about these, because people don't know. Mm-hmm. But right now, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, if you have any questions, I have Dan Mann here from Fairway Mortgage here in Marshfield. And the number is 781-837-4900. And we are going to go to commercial break, and we will be back.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
50% more Talk Real Estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And good morning. We are back here with Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. I'm sitting in for Sharon this week because if you weren't listening from the beginning, Sharon is on a well-deserved family vacation this week. So I am the host, and I have with me Dan Mann from Fairway Mortgage, one of my favorite people in the entire world. If you have any questions for Dan, please call us at 781-837-4900. Just before the break, because all of these things happen to me and my clients. Every single thing we're talking about, every scenario happens to me. So I want to talk a little bit about when someone changes a job or moves into a commission-based job, because you know, there's different things, as you have, you know, taught me over a long period of time about, you know, how when you change jobs, if you're in the same field, it depends on how long you were out, and then if you are in the same field, but you go to a contracted job or commission-based. So why don't you talk about that, Dan, because this was an eye-opener for one of my favorite clients recently.
Yeah, she's super nice, and that's, this exactly scenario happened when she had worked in the same line of work, what was it, 40 years?
Yeah, 40 years.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So she had a great W-2 paying job, and then she decided to, you know, just change her job and go into, it was actually, I think it's a higher paying job, to be honest with you, but it was a per diem. So that's basically becoming a self-employed person. So once that happens, you need a two-year history for self-employed, because they don't know how do you base someone's income off of, you know, even though for 40 years she's been in the same line of work, but that was at a W-2, you know, salary job. So now if you switch into basically a commissioned job, you need a two-year history to show what your commissions will be and what you're going to take for tax write-offs. That's another big thing. So we have the taxes to see what you take for your unreimbursed business expense. So you need a two-year history on that. So now she got stuck, and we can't do anything for a long time.
And here, you know, so she's in the same line of work. Unlike myself, she receives a weekly paycheck even. Mm-hmm. She does the same thing every week, and she receives a paycheck. We don't get paid until we close the sale. So it never even occurred to me, or her, mm-hmm. or her husband. It didn't occur to any of us. And then, so I wasn't worried for the first time ever about, you know, sending someone to you right away. I said, oh, we'll be fine. We'll get your house on the market, blah, blah, blah. We got an offer the first day. And then I send her to you because I need the pre-approval. And she has been working this job since January.
Right.
She doesn't have the history. But this is
I felt terrible.
Oh, it was,
you know, because
you
people don't know what they don't know. Like, why would you know that, you know what I mean? Until you talk, and again, this goes back to the point of getting your pre-approval as early as possible, because now you'll know these pitfalls. Don't do this. Don't go charge up your credit cards. Don't do a lot of things that could affect your credit score, anything like that, until you are there. Another thing what happens is it's kind of the same with part-time jobs. Some people will be, you know, go from a full-time to a part-time job, maybe, you know, winding down a little bit, if they still want to buy something. Part-time is the same way, because if you're in a part-time job, how do you base off the income? Are they going to be working part-time 15 hours a week or part-time 25 hours a week?
Really?
So you need almost 2 year history on the part-time also.
What if you have a part-time job on top of your full-time job, but you need potentially that part-time job to help with the pre-approval process, but you haven't had that part-time job as long as you've had but you've had your full-time job a long time. How's that scenario?
The way that works is it's everything is kind of based off of 2 years. So if you've had your full-time job for say 14 years, and you've worked at the part-time job for 2+ years, fine. You know we just do an average on the part-time for the 2 years, and you take your base income off of the full-time job. If you've been under 2 years, a lot of times what, you know, people will do, they'll think they're kind of going to beat the system. They'll take a part-time job for 6 months to, you know, say, hey, look at this is the income I'm making. Well, you know, banks kind of see this and they say, okay, well, we know they're doing something just to qualify. They think if it's after 2 years, that's just part of your daily life. You can handle it. You know what I mean? You're not just trying to force this through. So that's why, you know, there's reasoning behind a lot of the guidelines. You know, even if they don't sound fair, there's reasoning behind them all.
So what if you, because again, has happened to me and my clients. I have so many stories. So what if you change jobs and you're in the same line of work and there really isn't any, you know, time span between you going from maybe a week or two you decided to take for yourself.
That's fine.
It still counts and all of that. Okay, what if you change jobs and change careers?
That's a little bit tougher. They want to probably see a little bit of history, but as long as it's, you know, a W-2 job, it's not, if you're going into it, it's not going to be a two-year period or anything like that. They just want to probably find out what the change was for, you know, what the likelihood of this job continuing is. You know what I mean? If there's some kind of connection to it, if you, you know, dropping and just going to a whole different line of work is very, you know, different. A lot of people, you know, to do something like that. But again, if it's a W-2 paid job, it is what it is. You know what I mean? You're not going to a commission job or, you know, especially like a union employees. That's tough too, because a lot of time, you know, union guys move around a lot. It's just the nature of the business. They'll move from one company to another. There's layoffs and whatnot.
Right.
So a lot of times on that, it's almost a, you know, a 2 year history too, because of all the moving around. But if you're at one company, then it's really not, you know, say you've been at the same company for a year, you're kind of fine.
So what if you get laid off and then it takes you a few months, 3 to 6 months maybe, to find a new job. And then, so what happens then?
If it's a W-2 job, you know, you're going to need a little bit of history back, because they're going to say, you know, why were you out so long? And now you can just say, I was job hunting. It's a tough market out there.
Right.
You might have been being particular. You know what I mean? Or just there was just nothing in your field and now you get something. So they'll want to see some time back at that. You know, that's almost an underwriter discretion question. There's not much, you know, that's up to, it's underwriter discretion, because, you know, this is probably more information than people want, but we run findings on loans and it tells us what we need. So there's a few things that are, you know, gray areas that underwriters can say, all right, you know, we're not going to do this. But most of it's just cut and dry. That's why, you know, when we do a loan, you know, bank statements, pay stubs, you kind of know everything what someone's going to need right off the bat and how to, you know, get that stuff. And just from doing this for years, I know what most of it off the top of my head.
Right.
So, you know, by taking an application, I can almost tell you everything you're going to need, the standard things right away. And then that's why I'm saying if you get those things in, your process is so much easier.
Absolutely. And again, if you have any questions, please call us here at 781-837-4900. And I have another question. What if, so here, again, this happens to me. So I have a young couple that are married and they're coming and they both give me their names and I submit that information to you. Come to find out, they're aware that, you know, one of them, either he or she, doesn't have potentially the credit score, or they've had some, you know, bad debt in the past and they don't know. It's so important to disclose everything. Like, for instance, that, you know, you might be a widow or a widower, but your spouse's name is still on the deed on the house. And or what if you're divorced? We come across that a divorce situation a lot. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like when someone's divorced, depending on which end of it you're on, if you are paying, you know, your spouse, if you wouldn't need, as soon as I hear someone say, they're divorced, I know as part of the package, you know, as the W-2s and pay stubs, all that good stuff, I'm asking for the divorce decree or the, you know, the separation agreement, because in that it will contain either what you're being paid each month or paying each month. So if you're paying it out, say, you know, you have alimony of $1,000 a month, just a random number, I have to put that in your debt ratio. So if you're receiving it, then we have to show that you've been receiving it for 12 months. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times that's just a check into your bank account, but you have to show receipt of it. That means so that, because you can have a piece of paper saying that you're owed this, but if the ex isn't paying you that, how can we use it as income?
All right, so I know nothing about alimony, and I didn't even know that probably today still was around. But so if you're getting alimony, is that for a specific amount of time? And I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's why we get the divorce decree. It tells exactly how long everything is. Or if you're getting child support, it tells when that stops. So, for instance, if you have a young child, you have to see continuance of it for at least 3 years.
Okay.
After, from the day the loan closes, right? So if you have a young child, that's probably going to be fine. But say you have someone that says, and this is where, again, this is a tough one. If a lot of the child support agreements will say that you have to give child support until the child graduates college, well, what if they're a senior in high school? Do we know the kid's going to college or not?
Oh.
So you're stuck in a gray area. Are you going to be receiving this income? Now, you can't do anything until the child starts college. Now you know that's a four-year you know what I mean? Now
right.
You're in college.
So are you saying that, most people get a 30-year loan,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm divorced and I get alimony, and that, because I only work part-time, that's being counted as income.
Yep.
It can
mm-hmm.
be counted as income, and you kind of, what do? Kind of do a tax off of that? Because it's,
nope.
Like say someone gets $1,000, you count it as...
It's the same way we do it. We use everyone's base income. So in other words... your gross income is what I'm going to use for your, not your after-tax income.
Oh, okay.
Because, so, if you're, a salaried person, tell me, $60,000 a year is what you make, that's what we're using for your qualified income. Now, again, I'll look at your tax returns. If you're taking some kind of, write-offs on your tax return that would affect that amount, then it might come down a little slightly. But other than that, that's how that really works. So now, if you're getting alimony, as long as we can, show that you've been, document that you've been getting it for the right amount of time, it's income.
So I'm getting alimony, and that alimony ends in 10 years, right?
Yep.
I'm still going to be qualified for that mortgage for mm-hmm. 30 years, even though a substantial amount of money potentially is mm-hmm. going to fall off after
yep.
10 years, and you'll
yep.
still give me the mortgage.
Yep, because wow. it's normally after 3 years, right? So this is, again, though, a slight... Another one. There's not much gray area in underwriting, but this is a little bit of one. They say, because I have someone, they're using trust income, right? It's almost just, kind of similar. They have to see, after 3 years, what's the likelihood of this being able to be repaid if this trust income dries up?
Uh-huh.
So we have to figure out a plan. But if it's out, 10 years, it's not, an underwriter is really not going to do anything. But if you say you have 5 years maybe, now they're going to kind of look at it. What's going to happen in 5 years? What are you going to do that's going to substantially increase your income that you can cover this and your ratios are okay?
But you know what's not fair about all that, and part of the person that, like my client that, had the same job for 40 years mm-hmm. and then went to per diem, and that thought went right out of God.
It's what's not fair about it.
It's what not fair about, what's not fair about that? Oh, someone that does have a W-2 job, they could lose their job in a year or two. Like, mm-hmm. so it's, it's
of
so
course.
Really not fair. Fair, because nothing's guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed, but then there would never be a loan.
It's just, that one just annoys me to no end.
I felt terrible, but as soon as they said...
Especially when you're getting a paycheck every week. That
yes.
makes it even more...
But that paycheck's going to vary every week. You get what I'm saying? So she could, and then she could, it's not guaranteed a paycheck. She could... decide not to take work, they could maybe not offer a per diem work. It's not a, there's no way to really get a set income for that.
Still annoyed.
We get that a lot.
Still drives me crazy.
Fanny and Freddie have some crazy things, but there's reasoning behind
Fanny
all of them.
Fanny and Freddie, if I could get my hands on you,
yeah.
right? Oh my gosh.
Yep.
So let's talk, so people need to have full disclosure with you so that mm-hmm. we don't have any surprises.
It comes out in the wash. It's always going to come out in the wash. I've had people do this. They'll not tell me things. And you kind of know when you're talking to them, trying to get this information, is there any judgment against you or anything? They don't think that it's going to come up. Now you get tax returns, you pull credit, you see everything. I mean, we get a lot of information because
yeah.
you have to. So, because how is a bank going to determine if a loan's qualified or not? That's
right.
why we gather up all these things. So people will not tell me things thinking they're not going to come up. I've had a woman... Oh yeah, I work full time. Okay, great. You sure? It's full time. Yeah. Oh yep. Come to me. Get her pay stubs per diem. Per diem. I said no. This says you're per diem. You're not full. Well, yeah, but I work. 40 hours, and I'm. I know, but it's you're a per diem employee. You've just started. 6 months ago. I can't do anything right now. So you have to become a full-time employee. But she thought that was just going to go through. I knew I was a per diem, but I didn't tell you. And I'm, okay, well, that's the problem. Or they'll, we pull a credit report. Credit reports now are pulled twice during the process. you know, when we qualify you, and then within, I think it's 7 days of closing the loan, credit's repulled to make sure you didn't incur any new debt that would put you over debt ratio. People don't know that. That's why I always tell them, as soon
don't
as this,
buy
don't
buy anything.
Don't do anything. Because the famous one that used to happen, because before, back in the day, this never happened. You pulled credit, that was the credit report you used. Yeah. People could go buy their furniture, good to go. Well, now that this other, people want to buy their furniture, oh, I got a great deal, zero interest. Okay, you just put, you know, $8,000 worth of furniture, a minimum $200 a month payment. Now your debt ratio went from a 45 to a 50, and we can't do anything. So people don't understand that because of that second pull. That started, you know, I'd say 3 or 4 years back.
And let me ask you another question that I really don't think I know the answer to. I think I sort of do, but I want to hear it from you because I want to hear it from you. So why do we not want to run people's credit reports too often? Why do we not want people to have their credit reports run too often? Mm-hmm. Why does that affect their credit? I don't understand.
It's called a hard inquiry. So people, if they're getting their credit pulled all the time, that affects your credit score. So for instance, now what they do tell us, these quote unquote experts will come into us and talk with us because we want to try and know as much as we can about things.
Right.
If they say there's what's called a shopping window. So if you're shopping for a mortgage, you may have a couple of mortgage companies, you know, pull your credit. And they say if that's done within 13 days of each other, it shouldn't affect your score. When it does affect your score is if you went out and applied for a credit card and then, you know, you applied for a mortgage and then you applied for a car loan. That's going to, you know, drop your score significantly.
You know, that happened to me. I was refinancing my house a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to buy something somewhere and they said, oh, you'll get 20% off if you open up our credit card mm-hmm. today. And I thought, of course, I'll take 20% off. I'm mm-hmm. no fool. So I did, it was this regular little store, like a Pier mm-hmm. 1 something. So then I'm refinancing my house, which has a gajillion dollars in what is that?
Equity
in it. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I'm having a hard time with the big words today.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That was a big one, that equity word.
Yeah.
Well, it had two syllables,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I hear.
Right? So they called me and said, did you open up a credit card? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't think so. And I said, well, who? What?
Right.
I forgot. It was like 2 months before I bought something for literally like $25, paid it off, and they said, but you opened up this credit card. And I thought, yeah, what's your point? Like, you shouldn't have done, like, why did you do that? Again, I'm not understanding the point. So can you help me with that? And I was fine, but
Because what happens is now you have an inquiry against your credit, and it's going to, your score might have went down. It might have affected your rate. You see what I'm saying? Because you're not dealing with the same interest, the credit score. So the credit score works by, you know, kind of a 20-point increment. So a 700 to a 719 is one level. 720 to a 739 is another level. 740 above, if you're in the regular world, you're not going to get any rate adjustments. But then when you go below it, conventionally your score, your interest rate is affected.
So I was above 780, so it shouldn't have mattered,
oh,
right?
Oh, stop bragging. You just wanted to slip that in.
I did.
I knew. Oh, I was
did.
Above a 780, Dan.
I know.
So,
it was over 780.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
So cool. And, you know, but another thing, just before I forget, one thing people don't realize, in the same vein of what people don't understand that would affect them, I co-signed a loan, a car loan for my brother.
That's a big one. Let's talk about that.
People co-sign loan. Oh, well, it's not my loan. It's my brother.
Well, it's your loan.
Yeah, it's your loan. You co-sign. People don't understand that. So that works against you.
They really don't think that
mm-hmm.
because they co-sign. But if that person defaults on their payments,
mm-hmm.
you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, you're responsible anyway.
Yep.
But that happens often with a lot of... what we call here right-sizers, people, mm-hmm. parents that have co-signed loans
yep.
for their children, and they've got two other car loans on top of their own car loans
yep.
because they've co-signed them for their kids, and they think, mm-hmm. well, that's not really my loan.
Yep.
It's affecting your credit.
Yep, 100%.
And they don't realize that.
It's affecting your debt ratio.
So, I know.
But there's a million things like that on a credit report that will happen. Again, the co-signer, account, one great thing though that will help your credit score.
Oh, what? What is that, Dan?
Instead of when you get on a credit card, right, this is going to be all bonus for you. If you become an authorized user on someone else's credit card, that's a great card. You don't want to be an authorized user on a card that has lates or high balances or anything like that. But if you become an authorized user on, again, say,
like my daughter.
Yep. So she could get on your card.
She is on my card. And
right?
that's helping her credit because yep. mommy's paying the bill.
Right. And as an authorized user, she's not responsible for the debt. So I can pop that out. So she gets all the benefit of, say, that card was opened in 2000. So that's 16 years of on-time payments, right?
Right.
And as long as the balance is, again, below that 30% that we had talked about, you're in great shape, because now she's going to get all the positive, and I don't include that monthly payment in her debt ratio.
I found that out, and I was very excited for her because, you know, back when, you know, I was going, we had to make get our own credit. We had to get our own credit cards, which took forever. Right. So she's, and she uses it well. Mm-hmm. So is that based on what she charges on that? Or
no, because again,
it's just based on the whole credit card.
On the credit card. So I'm gonna when I pull credit, there's going to be a balance on there of, you know, whatever it is. Say it's $10,000. It's not going to show who's charged what. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's just, it's all about the how high it, because again, it doesn't matter that way, because I can take that minimum, whatever that minimum payment is, out of her credit score. Now, if she became a co-account holder, it's like being a co-signer. Now I do count that debt against her.
Yeah, no, she's just an authorized user.
That's what I'm saying. So you always want to be an authorized user. Now, again, I would tell her to start getting her own credit cards.
Yeah.
Because you want, again, I was never a credit card guy growing up. I thought they were the devil, you know. But
well, because you're in finance.
You know, ever since I get into it, you need them.
You have
to have your credit profile, you need them. And a lot of times you need them open for more than a year, you know, for it to really begin to help you. It will help you, you know, instantly. But when you, again, run those findings that I was talking about, it calculates that in as your credit, quote unquote, profile. It won't be as good if it's not, you know, more than 12 months.
Well, and that's another point. So I have the first-time home buyers who are very good, and they don't have credit cards, and they don't charge things, and they've got savings, and they're all excited. They want to buy their house, but they don't have any credit cards. They didn't have student loans. So their credit score could potentially be...
Nothing. Yep. I've had that. I've pulled credit on people, and there is no score whatsoever. And they say, you know, how is that possible? Well, you don't have any credit. You've never had a car payment. You've never had a credit card. You've never had a student loan. How do they base it off of?
Yeah, so that's huge, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you should open up a credit card, you know, even if you charge something each month and pay it right off.
To be honest, that's going to be... It's almost harder getting a credit card with no credit than it is with credit. So, again, when I started this process, and this is my own personal... I went to apply for a credit card. They wouldn't give me a credit card. And I said, I don't have bad credit. Right, but you have no credit. So I had to start out with, for instance, a store credit card, like a Macy's card.
Yeah.
Right? You pay that for a month or two, right? You just to open something up. Then you go to another, you know, say a Capital One or something like that. Now, once that's on, you know, you get your third card. And now I'm in great shape now because I know how to do things. But at first, with no credit, I was stuck.
Absolutely. Yeah. So... Where was I going with this? So what other types of things? So what actually is what people need in order to, like, what is the paperwork that they need so that they can make a list right now, because they all have their pens and their paper.
Yeah, I'm sure they're right beside the radio with their pens and paper,
right?
Trying to find out, what am I going to need when I called in?
Well,
just standardly, like, things you would think, it's, you know, W-2s, you know, for the past 2 years, tax returns for the past 2 years, or 1099s, bank statements. We always, you know, we'll get 2 months worth of bank statements. So that's another little trick people will know. If you know you're not buying for, say, 2 months, over 2 months, you can get a deposit in your account now of whatever, and it's not, we only get 2 months worth of bank statements, so it doesn't matter what your deposit is before that. But we track.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're only getting 2 months. So
okay.
You know what I mean? So whatever happens before that in your account, we don't know anything about it. You know what I mean? We're only getting 2 months worth of statements. So if you have a retirement account, and we're going to use that for, you know, your reserves. A lot of times you're buying a multifamily, you need reserves. So you need a quarterly statement for your retirement account and what's called the terms and conditions of that retirement account. So that's easy. Or again, if you're divorced, we would need a divorce decree or that separation agreement. You know, you need 30 days pay stubs, a picture of your ID. It's kind of stuff that you would think if you're getting a loan. It's a lot of it's mostly common sense. Once it's kind of explained to you, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The 1099s and the W-2s for 1 year, two years?
2 years. 2 years. That's just standard. We just collect them 2 years. Sometimes we'll require a little less. You know what I mean? 1 year of tax returns. A lot of times if you're, you know, a W-2 person and you've been in the same job for a couple of years, you know, they'll only ask for 1 year. But instead of going back to someone three times, underwriter told us we need this now. We just get everything up front. And now, again, now you're out there looking and you're relaxing and you can enjoy the process of buying a house. you know.
Let me ask you a question. Is it different, any different for when you refinance your house?
Nope, we're gonna require pretty much the same things. Yep. Unless the one thing we may not need is when you're doing a cash out refinance, you probably don't need bank statements because you're getting cash out, so that will pay your closing costs.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of different things. And another thing people, you know, don't do out there, so a lot of people get scared about down payments and things like that and not having enough when we were talking about gifts earlier.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do, you know, everyone always says, here's the no points, no closing costs. Well, there's always closing costs. Like the appraiser is getting paid. It's just who's paying them. So what that means a lot of time is Fairway will be giving a credit for those things. And there's different ways to do that in the rate. So if people are scared, like, oh, I don't have the money for the down payment, we can do, you know, a seller concession. I'm sure you've seen that in an offer where interest rates are so low right now. You can, this is advice I always tell people. So when you're putting money down on a house and they'll say, oh, I'm going to put down an extra $5,000. I'll say, well, that's only going to affect your payment maybe, you know, $30 a month, if that. Why not take that $5,000 and pay off this credit card, right, that has 24% interest? So, and now it's going to, that'll probably get rid of $200 a month off of your debt, you know what I mean, off your debt ratio, and it puts them in a better financial position.
That is a great, I do that with all of my first-time mm-hmm. home buyers, and even some of mm-hmm. my, you know, people that are, you know, selling and buying another property, because a lot of my first-time home buyers, they only have about 3% to put down, mm-hmm. and again, they don't realize there's all these mm-hmm. closing costs.
Yep.
So if we can finance them into the loan,
yep.
that, you know, that helps them and keeps a little bit of extra money yep. in their pocket to do the things
little
that they want to, little
house.
Things
yeah.
that they want to do. Mm-hmm. But the difficult thing that we have is trying to explain that sometimes to a person that maybe has lived in their house 25 years
yes.
and they're the seller that, like, so say it's $100,000 mm-hmm. and we're going to pay $100,000, but we offer 105 with 5,000 back.
Right.
They think that they're actually paying the closing costs for this couple. They're not, and they're just netting
$100,000.
Yep. My client still has to get the mortgage for $105,000, and the property still has to appraise for $105,000.
Yep, exactly.
But the seller, you know, if they're, you know, an older couple, they don't understand that at all.
Because this is more, it wasn't done so much a long time ago, that the seller concession. It's more of a new thing just because rates are so good. Why not finance your closing costs in, basically, is what you're doing. And it just saves, like you said, everyone buying a new house, there's always some sprucing up they want to do.
Right.
So why not have that extra money to do those things? Again, it's just such a good thing. And then to pay off those credit cards. Once you get into a house, a lot of times, especially younger people, it's tough to get that lump sum again to pay down that credit
right.
card. So if you have that, just get rid of it and start kind of fresh almost on
right.
things and not, you know, get things charged up again.
Right.
Because that interest on that card, again, it's probably four times as much as the interest on your house. So
right.
you're saving so much more a month by doing that, by just getting rid of that credit card payment.
And people don't know this, but so we've been going on and on and on. I completely forgot about the break. So we're going to do a quick commercial break, but we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that, the money toward closing costs, and explain that mm-hmm. because it is something I do all the time mm-hmm. and people don't quite understand it. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with Dan Mann from Fairway Mortgage.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of homeownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back, our listeners from the South Shore, and I have Dan Mann here. And before we finish out, this hour went by so quick. What are, how do we determine what to ask for seller concessions when we're putting in an offer?
So that's different for each person and how much they may, you know, may or may not have in savings and what they, you know, maybe want to raise their loan amount or not raise their loan amount. But for instance, you know, some things that, it's also not just for closing costs. You can use it for your escrows.
So but you people, have to put that in the offer, yep. Escrows, prepaids, taxes, and all that. Yep. Otherwise, they won't,
yep.
Right?
Yep. So, you know, we'll do that because what people don't realize is when you buy a house, you have to pay your insurance for a year up front because there's no escrow.
Dan, someone's at the door.
Oh, hello.
Well.
Should I answer it? Is the pizza guy?
Oh, I wish it were the pizza guy,
me
right?
Too. Me too.
Who want a large pepperoni?
Pizza in the morning is fabulous with me. Yes. Pizza anytime.
Yep.
I'm good with it.
Yep.
So this is the time where we talk about open houses for the weekend, Boston Connect. You can view them on bostonconnect.com. I myself have an open house on Sunday with Eileen Stewart from 1 to 3 at 485 Harrison Ave, Unit 501.
It's a beautiful listing.
It is a beautiful listing. Just about $1.1 million in the South End. Beautiful property, so I'm excited. And the market's open now, so it's going to be all kinds of buzz going on there. I'm
right.
excited. It's
right.
a great, great location.
I've seen it. It's a really nice property.
It's beautiful. And then otherwise, you know, we have lots of open houses this weekend, so please go to bostonconnect.com and you can see those. And if you weren't able to listen to our show or you want to listen to it again because we're just so...
It's so
interesting.
Yes.
You can, you know what? I don't even know where you can get that information.
It's on the Boston Connect site, the podcast.
Oh, see, there you go.
Thank you,
Dan. Yep. And Dan, if people want to reach you about inquiries about refinancing or being pre-approved for a mortgage, how do they contact you?
You can call 781-536-4172. Again, it's 781-536-4172. And that's just, you can also, if you're not remembering that right now, just look up the Marshfield Fairway branch and just call right in and just ask for me.
Oh, that's great. And if you would like to reach me for any real estate needs, I can be reached at 781-367-4419. Also, you can call Boston Connect at 781-826-8000. We also have our Bridgewater office open now, which is great, and soon to be opening in Dorchester. So
yes.
We're very excited about that.
Growing fast.
Faster than I think she can keep up. I think she needed this little vacation.
Yep.
I'm not even kidding, after opening Bridgewater. So one more time, Dan, how can they reach you? And then I do want to talk about the really quickly the amount of money that someone, we're not sure what the
seller concession. So why would, you know, how we come up with the amount we ask for? Well, for there's limitations on what you can. It's like 3% in some say, you know, some situations. But most of the time, what people don't realize, you know, there's, and it's not a hidden thing. It's just something people don't think of. When you buy your house, the day you, the minute you sign those closing docs, you own it.
Right.
So you have to have insurance in place for the year. Well, we set up escrow accounts when you buy a house. So part of your monthly payment isn't just the loan repayment. It's your property taxes and your insurance. It's 1/12 of each. So, you know, say you close on June 7th for just a random date. So June 7th, 2016, you need to have a year of insurance. That could be $1,000 for your policy, right?
Right.
People don't think of that. So now, but June 7th, 2017, the bank is going to pay that out of your escrow account.
Right.
But so up front, there's no escrow account set up yet. Same thing with your property taxes. So people don't realize you're collecting sometimes 3 to 4 months of property taxes at the closing table. Now, depending on what you're buying, say your taxes are $500 a month. That's a significant sum of money. So that's why we put that in a seller concession, because closing costs aren't, you know, going to be that high. You know what I mean? You don't have to use, say we say $5,000. Well, you're going to be able to use the extra for, you know, a portion of those escrows.
Perfect, perfect, perfect timing, Dan. Thanks so much. And I so appreciate you being my co-host today. And again, how can people reach you if they want
you
to?
Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172. And, or again, if you forget that, just you can just look it up online.
Thanks so much. And everyone, enjoy this beautiful weekend. And we will see you next week.